Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is the Great Inferno. It is Saturday, March 14th. How y'all doing? Started sounding like a Westerner here. How y'all doing? Well, doing good. It's nice weather today, actually. It was like over 50. Yeah, that's a sign, you know, that's the springtime, which is really good, because I'm getting tired of this cold weather. You know what I'm saying, Midwestern people? That's right. Right now, we are going to, it's 9 o'clock, so 9 at 9. We're going to be talking about 9 topics. And we're going to try to squeeze that into that 60 minutes in this hour. And, before we start that, I just want to, just wish you a happy birthday to those having a birthday. And, whether it be like 1 to 99 years old, if you're listening to this Great Inferno online, happy birthday to you. As I always, I'll play this annoying birthday song. Here we go. This is actually a Tagalog song. Tagalog is a Filipino language. So it's Maligayang Bati. Means happy birthday. I just like this, I like that, good enough. Yeah, there you go. Happy birthday to you all of my Facebook friends and MySpace friends, because apparently I don't have any offline friends. With this topic, I think we're going to start, shall we? Shall we? If you want to call in, feel free to do so. 347-884-8125. You can just freely listen online, blacktalkradio.com/Great Inferno. Okay. The topic of the hour, I want to talk about this. I've seen this in the internet, YouTube, whatever, whatnot, news, celebrity news. Joaquin Phoenix. You all probably remember him. Joaquin Phoenix is a very, very popular actor out there. You remember him on the, what do you call that? You know, with Mel Gibson, with that alien thing. I'm sipping away a tea here. I can't remember that. That stupid movie thing with Mel Gibson. Anyway, that's him, and also he's done a lot of movies, and let's get the co-host back here right now. All right, go ahead. Who's this? Not who?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, just doing a drink and sipping a coffee. What is this? It's white, so I think there's some milk in it, but it's Lipton iced tea. Lipton iced tea, that's my favorite. One of my favorite. I mean, I don't care what type of tea, but that's what I can get my hands on, so that's my favorite for tonight. And I thank my wife for making me that tea. We're going to be talking about today would be, I don't know if you know Joaquin Phoenix. He's in a lot of movies.
Is he?
Yeah, wait a minute. You know that guy from Mel, we play with Mel Gibson. If you know the name of that movie, call in 347-884-8125 before I remember it. It's the one, with the alien I don't know. Can you help me out on this one, caller? No. Anyway, we're running out of time. Okay, Joaquin Phoenix, here's You guys have probably seen him. You know, he's a meltdown on David Letterman, you know, when he started acting goofy. Actually, he grew his beard and he wears glasses now, and he does like rap music and stuff, you know.
Really?
Yeah. For the note of it, you know, he is, yeah, white. Well, you know, I mean, there's races. That has nothing to do with that. But I'm saying it's just like this is uncharacteristic of Joaquin Phoenix. Apparently, you know, he doing a concert in Miami, you know, in Florida, Miami, Florida, somewhere there.
Oh.
So he started, you know, rapping, and apparently there's some heckler, and it started booing him, and he went into expletive lays tirade, you know, to kind of exchange words with him. And he said, Joaquin Phoenix said, "Well, I got, you know, $1 million in the bank. What you got?" And I don't know what happened there. You can see it on YouTube. Just, you know, just go to YouTube and type in his name. You know, you should be able to see him. Now there was some words exchanged. So apparently he just, you know, dropped the mic and he launched himself into the crowd. You know, attacking the man. Now the crowd chanted, beat him up, or something like that. The security guards quickly responded, you know, by dragging, you know, Joaquin Phoenix out of the crowd. Well, you know, not the heckler, because they don't worry about the heckler, worry about Joaquin Phoenix. You know, this all over YouTube. I mean, it's just like when they post it on YouTube, some of them actually are pulled out of YouTube. I don't know if it was an apparent reason. I think it's because of the copyright infringements or something. Because apparently Joaquin Phoenix's brother-in-law, which his name is Casey Affleck, was the one that's capturing the whole video.
Oh.
You know. And
yeah.
And I don't know if you remember Andy Kaufman, you know, back in the day. I think that's one of the stunt, you know, more lightly, like, you know, public stunt, so they can be in the news and stuff, you know, that Andy Kaufman was saying and everything like that. But anyway, those are like Wrestling Mania moments when he was doing that. But somehow, but this is kind of relate, you know, kind of relate to that. But I think it's a publicity stunt. So what do you think?
Well,
what do you think?
Kind of like, if he doesn't know that person, it's kind of expensive publicity stunt, I think. That's what I think. Because, you know, the guy can turn around and sue him, and then he won't have $1 million in the bank anymore.
Well,
in my opinion.
First thing is, we don't know who that guy is. He could be like, you know, one of his friends or...
Exactly. So, yeah.
You know,
so that's what I'm saying.
So,
like, we don't know if that guy knows him, maybe.
Well,
the guy knows him, and then... You know.
Well, a lot of people think of, yeah, this is, you know, people, it's kind of half and half. People say, oh, this is, you know, he's on this self-destructing meltdown and right in front of our eyes, or, you know, this is another Andy Kaufman phenomenon, or, you know, it's one of those things that they would pull. I mean, you know, people actually, like, are tired of talking about a lot of stuff, so they're making things up. I think this is part of an act.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that on the reruns or on the news. Actually, Joaquin Phoenix was in the David Letterman.
Oh.
You know,
no,
trying
I don't
to interview
really
him.
Watch
yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah, and then you know, it's not one of those Britney Spears moments, though. You know, so it's like, so it's you know, like the head shaving.
Yeah.
You know, windshield bashing and. You know, stuff Britney Spears did.
She windshield bashed too?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, her head. It's just something to do. You know, they when the paparazzi are around, they do a lot of stupid stuff. That's what they do. And that's because, you know, they want to be a front page. Hey, you know, whether, you know, bad news or good news, if you're on a front page, you know, that's what they want. And I believe this is, you know, this is for Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, you know, if you're doing this for just publicity stunts, I mean, yeah, that is a good publicity stunt. You know, media is actually picking it up. So, And keep doing what you're doing, and we might, you know, maybe be talking about you when you, you know, do some stupid stuff. So continue on. And, you know, we don't want to hear any Andy Kaufman, you know, thing out there that you're going to just suddenly just going to say, hey, yeah, that was all an act.
Yeah.
And because we all going to feel stupid, you know, if you do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, let's move on to the second one. Here we go. We were going to talk about the, you know, I haven't catch American Idol lately because, you know, thing has been busy around things and stuff like that. But even last year, I'm not really a big fan of him. But, you know, when they got to go down to, like, the last 16 or last 8, you know, that's when I started watching him. Well, not watching, but kind of following him, like, online. Now, you know, we all know that tens of millions of Americans tune in basically, you know, religiously to American Idol just to watch the, you know, the funny, the trials and tribulation of, you know, their favorite singers. Well, according to the poll, it says this season, you know, though a larger number of those faithful viewers have more than casual pop culture interest in the show, they're more likely to be Christians. You know why?
Why? Because hope?
Because, no, because more than half of those this year's finalists are Christians, including Danny Gokey, Michael Server, Chris Allen, Scott McIntyre, Matt Garrod, and Lil Round. Either they all have a strong affiliation with the church or are worship leaders in their communities. That's what it says.
Good.
And let's say even though they don't come out saying that they're Christian, and they said, you know, people can spot, they can spot them, you know, who's Christian.
Yeah.
And then the more that they are successful, that we can, you know, they can they can connect with, you know, they can really spot, or they kind of, let's say, they stick like a sore thumb, you know.
Yeah.
And this is more kind of like probably would help drive viewership this year because of you know, the large majority of Christian viewers. I mean, who's doing these polls? I mean, I think my understanding, this is my take on that, is, you know, those are the avid watch, you know, the fan of American Idols. Those are from last year, the year before. I mean, they're not, I don't think they maybe have some more or, you know, a couple thousand more this year, but I think it's the same crowd. I think they just, I don't know. I mean, this is, I'm not saying it's a attack to Christian, but I think they are exposing Christians into, you know, to get attacked on something like this. So what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, I don't really watch American Idol, but I know several people that claim to be Christians that do watch that show. So.
Well, there's nothing wrong watching that show.
Right. I mean,
there's
like,
a lot
I
of Christian watches, so, yeah.
I think I would prefer, like, if that show is called Star Search or something, you know, instead of American Idol, because, you know, from a Christian perspective, I know that there's some people say there's nothing wrong with the name, but the title of the show is American Idol, and God says don't worship idols, so, you know, watching an idol, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I think it's promoting that you should worship them, and you should always, like, you know, no matter what, miss church if you have to, just to watch them, you know, and then they become your idol. You know, and I know a lot of people don't think like that, but that's just, like, my perspective on that.
Oh,
like
okay.
I said, I would be a lot more likely to watch it if it was called something else.
Oh, is that the same thing that, you know, there's, like, there's an amusement or a park that calls Devil's Lake? Were you saying that you won't go to the Devil's Lake because it's called the Devil's Lake?
Well, I talked with my husband about that one. He said it's, you know, it's okay to go to Devil's Lake. He said it's okay to watch American Idol too. But I'm just saying that I know. I remember when it first came out, that was like really my like turn away.
Well, here's my take on that. Here's my take on that. I don't watch it because I think it's just a waste of time. You know, I don't watch that to, you know. I mean, to avid listener, I mean, listener or watcher or the fan of American Idol, I mean, if they start worshiping the American Idol or the people Costanza, even the people in there, like, you know, the judges and contestants and all that stuff. I mean, they start worshiping them to the point that, like, they're giving themselves up, like, calling in to work, you know.
And like that's
something wrong with that. That's got to be like a sickness, you know. Is that? I mean, they should be able to catch it. Well, wait a minute, you know. You know, I'm getting fired because I'm missing work because of the American Idol. Well, wait a minute,
yep.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, and just like, you know, like you said, worshiping. Worshiping means giving your attention to something like that. They're first in place, you know. It's actually what
right.
The word worship means, but. You know, like we said, like that, like I think I said, and then you said, like, you know, if you're calling it to work because you want to watch that, that's like coming first in your life, you know, instead of taking
right.
care of your bills, you know. So,
or building your business.
You know, exactly. No TV, no BV, that's what our motto is. I mean, no BV, no TV or something. If we watch TV, we don't get BV. Something like that. We got to make a phone call before we do something. So, yeah.
Something like
we
that. All right.
Somebody. But anyway, yep, so that's my perspective on that. Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing your perspective. And we are just going to move on. And we'll move into, you know, world news. Oh, world news, world events or something. Something like that. We all know that Cuba and Venezuela is all in the tank with Iran and Russia. Bluntly, like Hugo Chavez and all of them, they want to get picked on by the United States, but the big brothers here in America. Well, get this though, I just read this and it's kind of interesting. A Russian Air Force actually said that the Russian Air Force chief actually said that. That Venezuela President Hugo Chavez has offered an island for them, for the Russia, as a temporary base for strategic Russian bombers. The Interfax news agency, and that's the Interfax news agency, that I read that off of that. Now, the chief of staff of Russia's long-range aviation is Major General Anatoly Zhigarev, also said that the Cuba could be used to be based an aircraft. You know, they want to put base. There's an island off the coast of Venezuela, and they want to lend that to the Russians for odd reason. I don't know why. Now they're trying to. This is what they're trying to say. They said that the military is speaking about technical possibility, and that's all. That's it. And if there will be a development of the situation, then we can comment. That's what. End quote. That's what they said. And Chavez has offered a whole island with actually they called it an aerodrome, which they can use as a temporary base for strategic bombers, like I said. And they said if there's a corresponding political decision, then use the islands as by whatever they want to do with that, with the Russians. My take, and then your take. My take is just, you know, it's one of the moves that they wanted to irritate the United States, and that's what they want to do, because we do not, I mean, the United States do not like, you know, they don't want a, you know, the Russian have a position as far as, like, a geographical area there, because it can be really dangerous. We don't know. The Russians are unpredictable, the politics, you know, over there, and who is in power. I'm not talking about Russians that, you know, that we see every day, you know, that working hard and you know, heart-loving Russians. I'm talking about those people out there that who has power for everything like that. It's just, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of, why would they do that? You know, and they're saying that, oh, yeah, it's just for a military, you know, just for, like, technical possibilities in the futures. And we all know that Chavez has bought some lot of stuff from there, and also good relationship with Iran. So I think they are planning something here, and they just want to make sure that, you know, if it's a signal to the United States, if you attack me, you know, I have my my allies and write them, you know, right on your backyard. And that's my take on that. What's your take?
I have, I guess, a couple of takes. Like, I agree with you on that. Like, you know, that maybe they're just trying to just irritate us or something like that, make us scared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, did anybody, like, suspect? I don't know. I don't really remember. But that Hugo Chavez and Russia was, like, linked, you know. I mean, this would just show that they are, you know what I mean?
Linked to what?
Like, to each other, you know. Like with the terrorists in Iran and stuff like that. And then we're just thinking that, you know, just one step closer to maybe what, you know, like the end times is what I'm saying. It's like that I believe that, like, hopefully that America will still be here when Jesus comes back, but there's nothing mentioned in the Bible about America. So I'm just saying that, like, you know, with, I wonder if, huh?
There's mention of our great nations, and, you know.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, I'm wondering if, you know, when President Obama closed Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
He closed that, and if that was just the first step, and then now Russia's trying to move in. I'm not, like, really geographical savvy. You know, so I don't know if that's near there, is it? Like, is where Russia is, you know, opting to move closer to the United States, is that near that place that was evacuated with all those terrorists?
No. Well, it's a lot closer from Russia, yes, but...
Okay.
The Guantanamo Bay, it's in Cuba. But it's closer, yeah, it's the same vicinity. So you're right, but, you know, not the same island.
But I think there's some good Cubans, you know.
There's a lot of good Cubans. There's a lot of good people and bad people everywhere.
Exactly. Like, I think that, you know, people, because I was just thinking about Miami, there's a lot of Cubans in there in Miami, Florida. And I think that they had said that they, something about the U.S. opened up, like, a certain place for the Cubans to come to flee
mm-hmm.
from Fidel Castro's rule, right?
Right, yeah. But there's a huge, you know, there's a history on that. I remember that. I remember seeing that, reading that, or hearing that. So, that's right. So what do you think we should do? What do you think the United States, you know, Obama's administration would do?
I think, like, personally, I think that we just need to pray for Obama, because maybe he's just really blind to the fact. Either he's blind to the, like, not talking bad about him, but maybe he's just, like, blind to the fact, like, somehow about what the motives are of Russia and Hugo Chavez. Or it's either that, or he's intentionally, he won't do anything about it. You know, like, hopefully it's not that he will be willing to take money to be quiet, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, let's just hope it's not too late, you know.
Exactly.
Pray that, you know, this is something that they will catch on, or, you know, if they're planning something, they will, detect that early enough, like, unlike the 9/11, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then I think that they need to, like, put troops over there or something. I don't really know how all that works, but,
there's
troops in Iraq, like, wherever they're going to be moving, to watch the Russians, you know, to make sure that they don't set up some nuclear weapon or, you know,
Russia has the biggest nuclear weapon in Europe. They're like, the largest one. I mean,
go ahead.
So, I mean, it's with this Venezuela is trying to kiss their behind. I think that's what they're after. Venezuela's after is that the whole thing, you know, just like the Iran, you know, trying to build their own weapons and stuff. So go ahead.
What does Venezuela have against us anyway, other than, I mean, is it because of a spiritual thing, like that we're Christian nation, or
no?
What?
Well, it's not all Venezuela's, I hate. They don't like, it's just the Hugo Chavez and the way he runs the government.
Right.
Because the way,
like,
because he has the same the Bolivian, you know, whatever they wanted to, that Fidel Castro is trying to run his country, like the Bolivian revolutions. And
so is he trying to take over the U.S. or what?
Communist. It's a communism.
And
it's
he
like,
wants us to be communist. You know what I mean? Like, does he want like Russia to
come? Yeah, that's
come
what he
here?
Wants. If he can wave if he can just snap his finger and saying, you know, well, the United States would come under the Venezuelan rule. Well, yeah, well, of course, but you know, it's not gonna happen. But
he's got to take steps, and this is maybe one of his steps or something.
I think it's going to be like, you know, Venezuela is going to be another Cuba. It's going to be there, just sits there, and we're not going to touch them, you know.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so that's what happened. Let's move on, shall we? I want to move on to the next segment. So, you know, what I want to do is, like, I think my... thing is going out. Okay, there we go. We are moving on to the another subject. And all right, I was talking about Gitmo. We were talking about Guantanamo and everything like that there. So let's talk about the Obama administration actually dropping the term enemy combatant. So they want to drop that. You know, they want the prisoners in Guantanamo Bay. They want to be. You know, label them a term enemy combatants because of I don't know because of the and if you know this is it's just crazy it's just I don't know what to say here we go here's my take on this they want to drop the word enemy combatant first there's no more war on terror we're not war on terror and they want to drop enemy combatant. Second, they want to serve pancakes to those people. Third, they just, you know, they don't even know what to do with them. So the Justice Department closed the move in a court filing in response to federal judges' order seeking a definition of the term enemy combatant. Judges have said the definition will play a key role in determining whether the government has justified confinement or the confinement of scores of detainees who are challenging their status in U.S. District Court here. They said, though dropping the term enemy combatant will have little practical effect, it is a symbolic move by the Obama administration to break with the past. See, this is what they're trying to do. Here's my take on that. You know, they are actually hurting the country by doing that. They're hurting the credibility of the United States. Also, because they want to go through that pattern. Obama is all about chains. So they start from that. Let's just start calling them somewhere else, you know, something else. And by doing that, you know, they're actually just playing by their rules. I mean, like the, you know, the enemies or those people who's in person for doing the heinous crimes are actually saying, hey, you know, they'll fold in within their knees. You know, I mean, that's losing a lot of credibility in our Western world or and with our allies. That's my take. What's your take?
Yeah, I think that that's really not very, you know, I don't think that's a wise choice. I mean, we can't judge Obama. He's the president. God put him over us, you know. But just that he wants to just start a fresh slate just because, you know what I mean?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Press the wrong button.
I mean, does he, like... I have a question. And we'll put how about if we have, like, you know, a five-minute time limit or something? Okay. Like, if anybody calls in or something like that, we'll have five-minute maximum discussion about this. Because I know what your views are on this situation. Okay, you know how people think that there's conspiracy theories says that, like the U.S. bombed the World Trade Center and stuff like that.
Oh, like, yeah, the 9/11. You mean, like, the 9/11?
Yeah. Yep,
conspiracy,
and they have videos on
nut case, yeah.
They have those videos on the online.
Oh yeah, they all have
stuff like that. Where
yeah,
you can
not,
put slow
yeah.
motion and the building
yep.
blows up before and everything like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that Obama believed that America bombed the U.S. and that it wasn't Iraq that bombed the U.S.? So maybe he thinks that he's doing something nice.
Hey.
That he's
wait
letting them go. And I'm like, maybe that's where he's coming from. I don't know. Like maybe he thinks that we're not even supposed to be at war. Like that we're the one that started the war and that Iraq didn't
blow
Democrat up.
Democrat did not start a war on terror. You know, the President Bush was in office, and therefore he's the one that started the war with Bin Laden and all that. Now, Barack Obama does not believe that the United States did that. You know, did that to our, you know, to our own self, or to that started within the. Within itself, like people believe that Bush and Cheney has something to do with it. No, that's not what he believes. He doesn't believe that it comes from Iraq. He doesn't even, he was opposed on sending people, to Iraq and all that stuff. He was like opposing everything. He was always like vote present. That means like did not vote yes or no. He was there, so undecided or some sort. And he played politics. That's how politics are. They want to always be in the middle so they can get, bipartisan vote or, that's how he won. What I'm saying is he believes that from the get-go that the Afghanistan was the main and it has to be the main focus, not Iraq. He believes that Iraq was a big mistake, but he does see when he was running for president, he actually went to Iraq and visited with the troops and, saying that you guys are doing a good job. So he's like, it's a two-face. I mean, any politician is like that, So what I'm saying is you lost me there. What was your question? I'm sorry.
So my question was that why he's trying to set all these people free and wipe the slate?
Oh,
he doesn't really believe that.
He doesn't
want
to set them free.
That they're the
enemy. He doesn't want to say. See, the thing is, you got to understand the power of the word chains.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be the one in the book and the chains to do this and to do that and change this and change that.
Yeah.
So the word change is like, that's equals to Guantanamo Bay. Who is he going to be? He'll be in the record of saying he's the one during his presidency, he's the one who closed the Guantanamo Bay. He's the one of freedom. I mean, they are going to trial. But yet, he also wants to show. I guess what they're trying to do is show respect to those, the prisoners and all that, because that's how they think, because they're not the one. He's not the one to put them in prisons. It was the Republicans or Bush administrations. So he's trying to say I'm good, I'm gonna be good, I'm gonna treat you well. You know what I mean? It's not siding with them, but it's also siding with, some so-called human rights. But it's, I think that's what they, because they don't want to be a bad guy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They don't want to be the bad guy. They don't want to be the one to put them on trials and execute them or whatnot they want to do with them. They don't want to be the one torturing them. So there has got to be some kind of enhanced, interrogations and stuff like that. So it's not freeing them. But yeah, he's the one. He wants to win. That's all. One politician want to do. They want to. They want people's vote. They want the. People's. They just want love. That's what they want to do. Because as much people they get into their side, that's one. They can move easily that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, President Bush didn't care. He said, hey, you can't run a country by going to the poll.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just because the Americans don't want you to do this, it doesn't mean, you know, you have to be a leader. You know, in order for you to be a leader, sometimes, you know, you have to, like, you know, repercussions and a lot of stuff. You know, it's like, if you're a manager, and then you have to tell people and say things, if you can't do this, and there's got to be, you know, you're going to get written up or whatnot. You know, you have to stand, you have to be a leader, you know, to show people that you are a leader. So that's my take on that. So what do you think? Again, what's your question?
Not a question, but I was just going to make a statement that not all change is good, and I hope people realize that.
Well, it doesn't matter. Not all changes, not all changes are good, but still, you know, they want to stick with the word change.
Yeah.
You know, change is what? It's a $787 billion of bailout. They think it's going to change the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it will, it's just a, you know, some sort of, it's hard to say, but it's a monopoly game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, roll the dice. That's what we need to do. They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going to be the outcome of it. It's just maybe like in the future and stuff. You know, I don't know. No one knows in the $787 billion, who's going to pay for that? Maybe our grandkids if we stay here in America, you know?
Yeah.
If you're so, it's just, you know, that's what you're going to do if you get, you know, just build up some business or something like that, move out of the country.
Yeah.
No, I'm not condoning that, you know, just because if you're going to feel free to do that, feel free to do what you want to do. It's a free world, all right? Free country, that's what you want to do. Let's move on, shall we? Now, we are going to, that to this. In Cincinnati, Ohio, authorities, there's one guy actually accused of stealing a car, and his complaint, excuse was, you know, he took the vehicle so he could drive to a court for his arraignment. The assistant Hamilton County prosecutor, Betsy Sutterman, said the guy named John Spinney, 42 years old, allegedly stole a Chevrolet Uplander. I don't know what kind of car is that, but so he stole it so he could drive to his 9 a.m. Tuesday arraignment at the Hamilton County Justice Center on charge of stealing $1,800 worth of jewelry. Now, I read it off on Cincinnati Inquirer, so I don't want to get any emails on that. So, Sutterman says Spinney was pulled over by a Cincinnati police officer before he reached the courthouse and was arrested on charge of receiving stolen property. The suspect claimed an unknown man had allowed him to use the car for $10 fee. And Spinney was arraigned on both charges Wednesday in Hamilton County, Missouri. Now, his bail was set to $5,000. Here's my thing. What was he thinking? What you taking on? What was he thinking?
What was that person that supposedly lent him the car? Was that the owner?
I don't, yeah. That's, he said a guy supposed to be lending him a car for $10.
Yeah.
Is it ended up, you know, maybe reportedly stolen? I don't know. Would you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have a way to get to your, you know, like, court date or whatnot, would you steal a car to get there?
I can't say for sure, but I don't think so. I think I would call the police and let them know I don't have a way, you know, or like try to call the church or call, you know, even if the person doesn't go to church, they could try to call like church or, you know, try to get somebody, like pray about it, definitely pray about it, how to get there. You know, for Lord showed him a way how to get there, and, you know, and if the
absolutely,
guys, you know,
or, you know, I mean, I don't think a person, you know, if they're going to the court, like, for criminal charges, I mean, unless they're, you know, they changed after they did committed a crime, but why would they pray, you know? I think this guy is a lunatic. I mean, what I think is, you know, he can't think right. You know, it's like that guy from the movie Life, and he can't get it right. You know, it's always got to do. Or, I mean, we don't know what happened, so I would just say he's crazy. Okay? It's just, you know, he's not right up. He should be tested, you know, for insanity or something, because it's just an insane people will do that. It's just like a steal a car. But, you know, right, saying that that he did actually, he gave someone $10 to use his car. Again, why would he do that? You know, why would you like, hey, can I buy you, can I give, here's $10, can I buy you, you know, buy or borrow your car? I mean, that's just, first of all, I'll be thinking, I'm like, okay, this guy just borrowed me his car for $10, you know, this is not right.
Yeah, why don't you just pay him $10 to take you where you're going? But then maybe the guy was scared or something.
Actually, it is just, I think it's more complicated than that. Again, like, you guys should be tested. And, yeah, he should be put in jail, you know, for stupidity. Yeah. All right. Another, from stupid to another stupidity, okay? This is a man, actually a man who bolted antlers to the head of the dead doe and posed for a photograph of the deer was fined $400 in jail for game violation. Oh, my gosh. This guy, 19 years old, named Marshall Fournier, he actually shot a deer the evening of November 22nd and used a lag bolt and epoxy to attach a 10-point rack. That's what the official said. He then checked in the kill as a lawful game on Barney's Market. Oh, wow. So he's trying to, like, pass it through, like, hey, look at this. I killed a 10-point rack, or a 10-pointer, what they called. So it's illegal to kill an antlerless deer, and it's also illegal to hunt at night. So I don't know what this guy's doing. So the Concord resident admitted to the killing and led a game warden to the deer's remain after an anonymous caller alerted authorities. The guy 48 said he had a quiet time drilling and fastening the antlers. So the game warden David Gregory said the antlers didn't look or feel right. He said when you grab them, you feel movement. He said, well, duh, it's fake. So, Colonel David LeCour, the chief warden of the State Department of Fish and Wildlife, said that the size of the antlers relative to the size of the deer seems a little off. Like, little bodies, going to be big antlers, don't know if he's going to be able to walk when it's alive. So, he said, quote, something wasn't natural about them, in addition to the fact that they weren't natural, he said, wow. This guy is like Burlington. This is Burlington, Vermont, I think. So Fournier was sentenced to 10 days in jail for taking a day in the closed season. He won't qualify for state hunting, fishing, or trapping license for at least 3 years. Sucks to be him. The court said adult antlers are stuffed or legend, but that is the first documented case in Vermont. Phase one. Put that in your phrase, things, Vermont people. Vermont people, you can't do that. Who are you fooling? Here's my question. Where did you get the antlers, though? Maybe, you know?
That's what I was
thinking. It doesn't say. It's like, where did you get the antlers? You know, is that a fake antlers, or is that real antlers that you bought? It doesn't say anything in here. So the news kind of suck on that. It's kind of leave you off hanging. So what do you think on what's your take on that?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too. Where he got the antlers from?
I think maybe it's fake and bought it, you know. And then I mean, the guy said it took quite some time to drill a hole in the epoxy them together. So
I think that's strange.
Yeah, it is
strange.
It's very strange. This guy needs to be tested for his sanity, because this guy is insane. There's only insane people will do that. Other than that, they're probably on drugs. So check that guy for drugs and brain damage, will you?
Mm.
Oh, God. So, all right, let's move on, shall we? Now, you like the vending machine. How's that vending machine working out for you? Is that, pretty good stuff done on when you vending machines. Yeah, when you when you need candies and chocolates and a little sub there, a little coffee there. You know, that's kind of the coolest thing. You know, what do you think on that?
Well, if you get food that you actually need to eat other than candy, I don't think it's so healthy. Not saying candy's healthy, but I'm saying, like, you know, the chicken sandwich, stuff like that. Just, like, a lot of processed meat doesn't taste very healthy.
Okay, well.
That's my thought on that.
Well, this is the thing, just right off the internet here, that actually they have, they call a pizza vending machine. Oh, not those slices of pizza wrapped on plastic, set on one of those, you know, combinations, letters and numbers and stuff. No, this actually is, they have a pizza robot inside. You can actually look in the windows and you should be able to see the little hand robot that's making pizza, putting, you know, sauce in it and everything. You know, pizza robot, that's what they call pizza robot.
Yeah.
The machine is actually being built in Italy. Man,
wow.
Those crazy Italians, yeah. The machines, the engineer says, and so they produce and outfitted with the little windows, like I said, so the customer can watch a pizza being made, as in a Charlie Chaplin's film Modern Times. This is like, you know, I don't know if you've seen that, but it's just one of those things. It's a miniature and without Chaplin, of course. Wheels, turns, and gears grind. The customer presses a button to choose one of their varieties from margarita, which is plain cheese and tomato sauce, bacon, ham, and fresh greens. A plastic container dumps flour into the drum, resembling a tiny washing machine. A squirt of water follows, and the drum goes into the spinning cycle. And it's just forming a blob of dough that is one, and then pressed flat form in a 12-inch disc, like a cookie thing. Have you made pizza before now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, that's what it looks like. So tomato paste is squirted into the dough and cheese and added before it's lifted into a small infrared oven. The baked pizza then slips into the cardboard tray and out in the customer's waiting hands. Mr. Reagan says the pizza will cost a little $4.50, depending on the variety. He doesn't tell you how long it's going to take. Is it take like 45 minutes also? I don't
or
know.
How,
30 minutes?
Or how big it is.
Yes, 12-inch.
12-inch, okay.
12-inch. So, what's next? What do you think? What's the thing about this? Would you buy something from this machine that does making pizza for you?
Possibly. But I have a couple other questions.
Go,
if you want
right?
to start your own vending machine business, how much is it going to cost for that machine?
Oh, that's insane, but I've made you millions of dollars.
I think $50,000, you know, start your own business, put those in hotels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big investment.
We have
business right now. I have, my husband and I have business, not that expensive to start up. But, and my other question is, maybe like pizza places like Papa John's and stuff like that, they're going to like get rid of their employees and just hire one of those.
Oh, everything would become, people will be obsolete one of these days. I mean, it's just, not just that, I'm talking about like, you know, like guest services industries, like Hilton's and stuff like that. I mean, they have a kiosk, what they call. People can check in and check out from the little, you know, little booth. They don't need anyone that, you know. So if you're working for guest service industry, look into that. Maybe you can make some money on that. So back to a machine. No, that's a pizza machine. They don't tell you a lot of varieties, though. They just tell you, like, maybe four, like cheese, ham, bacon, and some greens, which is probably, you know, bell peppers and okra. I don't know. I'm just guessing there. But, I don't think I would buy it because I don't know if there's robot washes their hands.
No.
Yeah, true.
Well,
all
maybe
right.
Not wash the hands, but the whatever, stirring sticks. I wonder how those do get clean.
I don't know. It's like water in there. I think that has a water, little their own washing machine. It doesn't show. I just see the pictures right outside of it, but it really does. It's a big machine. It's going to cost you millions of dollars, I think, to start those if you want to buy those, I guess. I mean, so, yeah, from pizza machine into a thought machine. I know I talked about this segments or a radio show a couple weeks ago. Scientists discovered, you know, this machine that have an ability to read someone's mind. And right now they're showing that they have come a step closer to creating that. After a scientist showed that they could guess a person's memory simply by looking at the electrical activity of their brain. Now, scientists have found this, that what they call spatial memories can be read by a brain scanner, so that it is possible to predict automatically where someone's imagined themselves.
Huh.
Like to be an exact location in a maze, I don't know, in a car, you know, stuff like that, without actually asking them.
Wow.
It also is a small step toward an idea of mind reading, because just by looking at neutral activity, we're able to say what someone is thinking. That's what Dr. Demis Hassabis of University College of London said. Yeah, it might one day be possible to do the same with other types of memories and thoughts, although the possibility of using mind-reading machines to solve crimes or to fight terrorism is still a distant prospect. Sad. It's at least 10 years, probably more, as they said, from getting anywhere near kind of technology where you could literally read someone's thought in a single short session. So it's not that far. I mean, what's your take on this? Is this really scary? Is this kind of scaring you, or is this nothing, something to worry about?
Well, would you know if they're reading your mind? Because, like I was telling you when you were talking about that last time, like they actually, some people were, they were taking tests on people, different types of people that pray, and, you know, people that say, like, meditate, that's
mm-hmm.
their form of prayer, people that say,
mm-hmm.
like, the Our Father as a form of prayer, people
right.
that speak in tongues, like at a Pentecostal church, and
yeah.
those people were not aware that their minds were being scanned, actually. There was something put in their drink, and the people were watching, I don't know if the next room or where, but they were watching them, and they were studying the way the brain works. So, I mean, it can become dangerous, I think, that if people can read your mind, because people can use that to abuse, you know what I mean? Like, they'd be like,
mm-hmm.
like, if you're thinking about how it was when you were, like, first married or the date of your marriage or, you know, or something like that, like, even, like, or your high school name or, you know, people are like, oh, hey, you're such and such person. Don't you remember me? I was at high school with you at such and such place. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
they can, like, you know, trick you into it. So I think that it sounds kind of sci-fi. You know, like we were watching the movie Equilibrium the other day and the other night, I mean, and you know, well, it's not on the same page, but still I do see some stuff, like there's medicines out there that kind of numb some parts of the brain, you know, so
oh,
that you don't
right.
feel things.
Right.
And I see that
right.
in a lot of antidepressants nowadays, like that they numb a part of your brain. They don't fix the
right.
problem. They just numb you to your feelings. And
antidepressant
like,
also,
you know,
and also pain medication.
Exactly. Yeah, with pain medication, you know, that numbs a certain part of your brain, so that you don't feel your pain, you know, it doesn't take away the pain, you know. So I think, like, you know, same line, like how that Equilibrium movie that we were watching is like sci-fi, you know, and maybe people won't
right.
be forced into it. I think that, you know, when people are going to the doctor looking for help and they're like, you need to take this medicine and that medicine, you know, they kind of are like, you know, I think that there's like very thin line between that and being forced to take some of those medicines, you know what I mean? It's the same
right.
thing like with the thing you're talking about with the, you know, sounds sci-fi, but it can become like where people are reading people's minds and, you know, it can get out of hand, I think.
Right. It's I think when they, you know, if they're like, hypothetically, like, let's say they created this, you know, kind of machine, I would think that would, you know, you have to be licensed in order to use that, like,
yeah,
you know, like a polygraph test. You know, there's got to be some procedures and steps before you can do that, and a lot of analyzing, you know. With the polygraph test, the same thing, you know, they text on, you know, like back in the day when they're talking about, you know, there's a machine that can tell that you're lying or not, and they're like, whoa, what do you mean, you know? They're like, whoa, you know, it's a polygraph test. So it's, as we go on, you know, going to the future, like 10 years, 20 years from now, I think, you're going to be able to see some goods, you know, hopefully that this is going to be used for good, not for, you know, evil. Hopefully, I mean, I suppose that Dr. Evil doesn't really get a hold of this.
Right. I was thinking that, like, another sci-fi movie, I mean, it's not necessarily sci-fi, but, like, the movie Eagle Eye and, like, I, Robot, you know, like, they could use it as, like, the term, like, you ever heard of Big Brother, you know, where, like, they have the camera in the sky or, like, at the, you know, stop-and-go light. I think it could come to that point within 10 or 20 years of the technology coming out.
No,
it can get to that point where they have it at every stop-and-go light and reading what everybody's thinking, and they'll just put it as, well, we're just trying to keep you safe from terrorists. You know, we want to know what everybody's thinking. You know, and I think that that's where it could go. That's what I think. I don't think that it would be the same as a polygraph test. You know,
right.
Because
I don't have. I mean, I think I would have a problem with that. If you get into what you think, you know, I don't have a problem with, you know, tapping on your cell phone. I mean, unless you have something to hide, yeah, you would have a problem with
well,
that.
Well, no, not the
you
tapping
know,
the cell phone.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's. I'm saying it's got to be. There has something to be like a petition that. You know, they would people let people know, and people would have to agree with it. And if or they would have to say, yeah, it's okay for you to read my mind. They're like, that's pretty dumb, though. I mean, it's just, but anyway, yeah, that's the government do whatever they want if they you know, to decide to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think that they will definitely need to hook up a lie detector test with that, though. But sometimes people can imagine things, you know, and if they're reading their mind, they'll have to know whether or not what they're imagining is true or not. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. Well, we're going for a landing right now, so thanks for stopping by, and thanks for listening, actually. I forgot to put start my chat session here.
Did we do 9 topics?
Well, we did actually. Well, you know what? No, we did not. Let's... throw in another one over here real quick. Okay, you remember that guy who threw a shoe at President Bush a couple months ago? Okay, well, actually, he is the new Iraq heartthrob because a lot of, like, girls want to, you know, be all over that guy, you know, because the lady says, well, because every Iraqi wanted to beat Bush, she said, the girl Montever. So... Montever, you know, that this guy Montever made their wishes come true by throwing shoes at President Bush. She said, "It's ladies, they were in Syria when this shoe thing happened, and they noticed the change in the way Syrian people treated us." He said, "Treat us a better way because an Iraqi threw shoes at President Bush." Is this the case? I mean, it's like if you wanted like something changed, something to happen to your country, you just throw shoes at someone that. Helped you? What's your take on this?
Yeah, I don't think that they really
the baby's
have the
crying
right perspective.
Too.
Yeah, he's put in the other room with the sisters. Mm. Got four. Yep, he's with his other siblings. But yeah, I don't think that they really have the right perspective, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's just too bad. But maybe not everybody feels the same way as that.
Girl, yeah, he doesn't speak for all the Iraqis, you know.
Right.
Majority, you know, and it's like they don't. This is what they want you to hear. This is like, you know, this is published on NewYorkTimes.com. This is what they want you to hear. If you're hearing this, if you're seeing this, like, oh yeah, oh, all the Iraqis, you know, hated George Bush. Yep, I knew it. So they're not really, you know, they don't have the, you know, they can't, if you have to be open on both sides, you know. And again, there's, I think, you know, I think in the beginning when I was watching him heard from a lot of people getting interviewed, you know, and 50-50 saying that, oh, this is, you know, this is like a disgrace, you know, why would he do that, you know? And other people said, yep, that's, that's like really brave of him to do that. I mean, thing is, you know, if he would have done that to President, you know, to like Saddam Hussein, or anyone that has a, you know, power that had no democracy in that country, you know, he would be put to death. You know.
Yep, right
so,
on the spot.
Yeah. So that's what I think, and that's what I think, and that's what I said. If you disagree, I'll punch you right in the mouth. right in the suck hole. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I am coming from a landing right now. Thanks, Dawn, for staying, for dropping by, and we'll do this again next time. Just keep an eye on us, blogtalkradio.com/GreatInferno. You got 10 seconds. What do you got, Dawn?
I want to visit my Shopping Superhighway website, shoppingsuperhighway.com, and also I wanted to ask you if you could work on getting the author of Resilience, the book. The author's name is Alonzo Mourning. If you can check on seeing if you can get him on your show, I'd appreciate
it.
Thank you.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the star?